if it's not your phone, then it should be written in your hearts. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. One day they'll just switch on some electrical weapon and it'll just destroy all the phones, destroy all your communications. All you're left with is the Holy Ghost and this book. Amen. That's why I encourage you all the time to stay close to the Holy Spirit and this book, because that's the only thing that's going to be left when the going gets tough. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There's a cloud the size of a hand of a man. Hallelujah. And as we were praying on Saturday morning, you know, that's why I encourage prayer, my friends. I encourage coming together. Your prayer at your own time with your family or with yourself, by yourself, is important. But the church needs to come together to pray. Amen? I encourage you, and I continue to encourage you, to find yourself in the place of prayer. Because without that, we don't have any power at all. Without that, we become a club. We become just another place where people can come and just gather. But we don't fulfill the purpose of what God has given us as a church. And so as we were praying, God confirmed some of the words that he was speaking to us. And so today I'm just going to introduce this message this morning, but I want to talk a little bit about some of the thoughts that I've written down. And, you know, God speaks a word, but I bring thoughts and insights of what he's talking about, which is important for me. He said, God is moving and breathing upon his church. We know that. So we are more stronger together than we are separated. That's why unity is really important in church. Amen? Yeah. Unity provides a weapon that points directly to the enemy. When you come together as a unified people, you are a threat to the kingdom of Satan. You are a threat when you come together as unity, as one. There's strength in numbers, and the enemy despises unity. That's why the enemy will stop you from coming to prayer. The enemy will stop you from having relationship inside the church. The enemy will cause you to have little offense in your heart to not to be found inside the church. The church is important for you. You find strength inside the church. And I know people may have some funny ideas about coming to church. That's fine. But it's foolishness if you're not finding yourself in a fellowship, because you need each other. You need to be hearing from God together. As a church, we need direction from God. And as a pastor of the church, I need people around me that are hearing the same thing as I'm hearing. Amen? Amen, amen. It is important. We can't hear different things all the time. It has to be aligned with what God is taking us through. So we must find those things that we have in common rather than things that divides us. Find something that is common that unifies us. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says, iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens the other. You sharpen each other when you come to a place of prayer. You sharpen each other when you come to a place of worship together. Hallelujah. Right now, I'm sharpened. Hallelujah. I'm sharpening all edges. Why? Because I got you sharpening me and me sharpening you. Hallelujah. But there's another ministry we call sandpaper ministry. And you get rubbed up the wrong way. A lot of people feel, oh, you know, I can't be with this guy because, you know, he's just irritating. But that's called sandpaper ministry. But it builds you up in your character. It builds you up in something in God. Amen? That's why God allows people to be around you. You need people around you. We need people around us. You know, I had a one-on-one pastor say, you know, Ben, church would be really, really easy when there's no people in it. Praise the Lord. It was a joke. So don't get all caught up there. And I laughed at it because church is about people. Everything we do is about people. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Why was it so significant for Jesus to pray a prayer? And he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He didn't pray for world peace. Hello, somebody. He didn't pray for the world to end anger and strife and all that. He didn't pray for that. He didn't pray that the war and famine would end. He didn't pray for that. Even though it's in his heart that he wants that to happen, but he never prayed for that. Listen to what he prayed for. Jesus and is concerned about all these things, yet it's not what he prayed. His prayer was found in John chapter 17, verse 21. I love this. It talks about Jesus praying. He was praying. And he says that all of them may be one. Father, just as you and I or you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Wow. Jesus prayed for unity. He didn't pray for something in the end. He prayed for unity. He prayed that we would become one as Jesus and the Father are one. That was his prayer. It was a crucial, important prayer that he prayed. That's why if Jesus prayed that, then you and I should know that unity is an important, important factor in church. He prayed for that. He prayed that you and I stay together, because he knows that it is the work of Satan. Satan's favorite tactic is to create disunity inside the church. As long as he can create disunity in church, he's winning all the time. That's why churches split up and break up and people leave church and all that stuff happening, because this is what the work of the enemy, this is what he's doing. And that's what Jesus prayed. He says, I pray that they will be one. Hallelujah. Therefore, my friends, God's weapon this season is hidden in the intercessor, you and I, in our prayer life. That's our weapon. It is the remnant coming together under the banner of God's presence in the unity of faith that we share. Amen. We share something in common, that is faith. And that is the thing that will unify us and keep us together. Amen. If we lose that, we lose everything. You lose your house, faith will bring it back. You lose your car, faith will bring it back. You lose your job, faith will bring it back. You lose your faith, you've lost everything. And that is why it is important for us to understand that as our world and country and community continues to decline with regards to sexual ethics and abortion and euthanasia and all that stuff that's happening around us now, it's harder than ever to stand for biblical truth. It's hard. But you and I can stand for truth. Amen. That's all God is requiring of us today, is a voice to speak truth. Voice to speak truth. Amen. The church must stay together in unity, breaking bread together like we did this morning, fellowshipping together and praying together. This is something that's in my heart right now that I'm sharing with you that is important. It is important for us to understand. Amen. Something powerful happens when we rally together as a church to come in a place of prayer. The principle of Ezekiah, the principle of Jahaziel, hearing God and hearing and saying, don't worry, God says, just stand up. You know, that word started the whole 2020 shift for us in the church. I have been constantly talking about the prophetic instructions that came for us as a church. And I've been talking about the 2020 shift. The last campaign we did was at the University of Technology in Leh before the whole shutdown came. And something broke in that place. And the enemy knew. The enemy knew that he had to delay something, because if he didn't, revival would have started. But it's already starting. All we're hearing from the news today is COVID-19, COVID-19, COVID-19. All these things is get you off focus on what God is really doing. That's why I keep telling you, turn your television off. There's nothing good in the television anymore. Read your Bibles. Come to prayer. This is what you have right now that will take you through when all these things start to come against us. Something powerful will happen when we come together. Therefore, we must continue to be faithful to what? To persevere. Now, that is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Perseverance is a character of God. God is a person that is long-suffering. Because you and I are sitting here saved today because of a long-suffering God. Amen. A father that is long. Let's talk about the prodigal son at Father's Day. That's the kind of God you and I serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a long-suffering God, and he perseveres through that, and he gave you the same character that he is, to persevere. And that's important for us. It is to use your influence however you can, wherever you can, hallelujah. It is to believe that God is using your faithful obedience to his word, that your consistency, that you will be able to measure on this side of heaven. You need to be consistent in what you do. The world is looking for us to fall. The world is looking for this church to be destroyed so that they can laugh and say, ha, 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 we told you. When you fall, the world will laugh at you, because that's what they want to do. That's why this walk with Christianity is not something that you belong to. It is, you leave a lifestyle of that. Jesus said, be holy like my Father in heaven who is holy. And holiness only comes from Him. And holiness and righteousness is aligning yourself with God's word. He says, if you, what? Love me. Then He says, what? Obey my commands. Amen. Obedience and love. See, God's love language is obedience. If you say you love God, then obey His commandments. That's all He's saying to us. And if you're a person that abides by God's word, it shows you love God. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. It's all right. It's okay. Relax, relax, relax. Tighten your seatbelt up. It's going to get rough. But this is what it's all about. This church, we've gone through some turbulent times. Amen? So we're able to take the word of God and receive the word of God with gladness. Hallelujah. It is the belief that you can make an eternal difference if you will choose the power of perseverance. Choose perseverance, my friends. Build perseverance in you. One of the fruits of the Spirit. Build it inside of you. Long-suffering. Build it inside of you. The great need of our day today is for courageous Christianity. See, Jesus said, go out and make what? Disciples. Not make Christians or just follow us. He says, go and make what? Disciples. Disciples are those ones that obey God. Christians don't obey God. Oh, hello, somebody. Christianity has become a religion, my friends. Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God. And this is the kingdom. You and I belong to a kingdom. We don't belong to a denomination or some club or something. You get up to heaven, you say, I'm a Baptist. God says, oh, you what? I don't know anything about a Baptist. I don't know anything about the AOG or COC or KFC, AFC, all the kind of C's you call yourself. I don't have that. Where? I started a kingdom through my son. And he is the king of all kings. He is the king of that kingdom, that soon coming kingdom that Daniel talks about. Hallelujah. That all these things that we see now will be destroyed by man, but he says a kingdom that's coming that will last forever. Hallelujah. And you and I belong to that kingdom. We live in two worlds and one earth. Hallelujah. Amen. We can tap into this world and we can tap into the other world because we have that faith and the Spirit of God that lives in us. Hallelujah. Amen. Get excited about these things because it will get you going in perseverance. It is for believers who will stand up and speak up, who will use their resources, gifts, and influence as boldly and strongly as they can in the strength of the Holy Ghost that lives in us. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Amen. I can feel the presence of God right here. Amen. Right here. Hallelujah. It is to refuse the enemy's temptation to give up and give in, because we can easily do that. We can easily throw in the towel and say, you know what, it's too hard. If Jesus did that, where would you and I be right now? If he says, you know what, he prayed in the garden, he says, it is not my will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, Father, is there another way we can do this? If he chose another way, you and I are lost. That's why it is easy to throw in the towel. And many of us do that. Many of us easy to throw in towels. So let me ask you, where is the enemy tempting you today? What part of your life is being attacked by the enemy today? That's a valid question for you to answer. Where are you discouraged today? How are you tempted to give up and give in today? Just watching the news is enough to just give up. People want to just fly away somewhere now. But you know, God didn't pray for you to fly away somewhere. Did you know that? Read the prayers that he was praying for us. He said, God, I pray that you what? Keep them on this earth because you are his eyes and nose and ears and mouth and legs and hands. That's who you are. And when you do that, you are representing God and doing God's will on the earth. He needs you. He never gave the evangelizing of the world to angels. Angels are probably confused. He says, I left it with 12 guys. When he left and came up to heaven, I'm paraphrasing now, so don't find it in your Bible. Angels were probably saying, Lord, what have you done? He says, we can go down now. The angels probably saying, we're going to go. We're going to go down. It's our turn now. You've done the job. Let us go. And he says, I've left it with 12 guys. And my friends, you and I are the fruits of those 12 men. That never gave in. They never threw in the towel. They stood for what they believe. Hallelujah. Without these 12 men, you and I would not be sitting here today. We are the fruits of that ministry. Amen. We are the fruits of the fire that came in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. We are the fruits of that. And so that is important for us to understand that. Just watching the news, you can give up. That's why I always tell the church, don't watch the news. Come and pray. Let's pray together. Let's listen to Jesus on the power of perseverance. Then I hope and pray that you will choose to go on. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, let's persevere. Let's persevere. I love you, but let's persevere. Because love is a fruit of the Spirit as well. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Jesus was speaking, and he, in verse 24, he said, and another parable he put forth to them, saying, a man who sowed good seed in his field. However, while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. But the grain had sprouted and produced a crop. When the tares or weeds, and then the tares and weeds also appeared. And the devil likes to work, does work while men are sleeping. While we are sleeping, he goes to work. While you are sleeping, the enemy goes to work. So 2 Corinthians says in chapter 11, verse 14 to 15, he says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So we are warned about those who pretend to be Christians. As I said to you before, it is not something you pretend to be. It's something that you live. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, Amen. And the life. And before you can do that, you have to become truth yourself. Amen. The truth abides in you. And he saw these weeds. That means that everywhere the good, pure seeds were sown, and the enemy matched that with the bad seeds. Every part of that field was also covered with the bad seeds. Every one of them. This part of the story depicts a very real problem in Jesus' day. When you study the type of weed that was sown, it's really important when you study these things. And there's a weed called the bearded darnel, or darnel, a plant that is common in the region, and it looks like a wheat. If for an unprofessional eye, Colin would recognize that straight away. He'd know wheat from a something else. Amen? It was a common thing that when you have an enemy and you grow your wheat, your enemy will come. This is real stuff now. And they'll come and they sow these darnels amongst your wheat at night when you go to bed. You come up in the morning and you plow your field and you do everything and you plant your weeds or your wheat, and then you go to sleep. And at night, these guys come out, your enemies. It could be your neighbor, could be someone who doesn't like you, or someone who's jealous of your business because you have a good farm and he doesn't. So he comes out and he sows these tares or these darnel weeds amongst what you've already planted. And they're very identical, so you can't tell when they grow. So Jesus used that. He says that we have people like that inside the church. Amen? And it is important that you understand that they will look like you, they will act like you, they will smell like you even. Oh, hallelujah. Why did I say that? Let me just drink it. Yeah, well, you know, everything like you. Good ways, okay? Oh, thank you, Lord. And so sowing darnel among the wheat was a common act of revenge. And it made the Roman government put a law against that. So if you're a person that goes and sows those tares among the wheat, there's a law against that. So verse 26 says, but the grain had sprouted and produced a crop. Then the tares and the weeds also appeared. Jesus' parable teaches us to expect a spiritual weed whenever we plant a spiritual seed. Whatever you do in the spirit, there's always going to be something that will be sowed as a weed in that. Amen? Remember that. Amen. Even your ministry. Every ministry that you have, women's ministry, children's ministry, man's ministry, whatever ministry you have in church, whatever you sow, the enemy will come in and sow tares in there. So this key strategy is to bring opposition or difficulties against us, then tempt us to blame ourselves for what he has done. That causes division inside the church. This is a really important scripture to understand, that the enemy causes these things so that it divides the church up. And the more you walk with God, the more you will walk against his enemies. Amen. So no corner of the field that you sow on is immune from this infestation. It comes. It will always come. That's why discernment of the Spirit is very important for us. Amen. Learn how to discern things. And that's why when we pray together, we're able to discern together. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor Bill said something to me. He said, protect this pulpit with all you have. Protect it with everything you got from this kind of tares that are coming in. Protect this place. That's why you don't see other people preach on this pulpit. Not because I'm holding the whole thing. I am protecting it from what I've seen that can destroy churches. Yes. I have seen churches destroyed from this kind of tares coming in. And that's why we're in a season now that we must be aware of these things that are coming. They're growing at your side right now. Yes, my friends, they're growing. The servant, verse 27 says, the servant of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? You know, the opposition will come, but it will come as a light. It imitates what we think it can be. I've seen things like that happen. That's why we're very protective of this church, protective of what we allow on this pulpit, protective of the word that comes from this place, that it has to flow with the prophetic word that has come to this place. And we must protect it with all cost. Amen? If you ask to be up here, protect this place. It is important for us. So if God is going to clean up the church, first he has to reveal the enemy. First he has to reveal sin, all the hidden stuff, that all has to be revealed first. And the master, as an answer, he says in verse 28, he says, an enemy has done this, and the servant's response is natural. Then do you want us to go and gather them up? And he said, no. Why not? Lest while you gather the weeds, tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. We destroy each other inside the church when we think we're doing the right thing for God. Amen? That's why we have to discern. We think that sometimes we do the right thing, sometimes we don't. We all make mistakes. But this belongs to God. He's the one that does the separation. Amen? That is why the Lord delays his return and judgment. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as he counts some slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Long-suffering is the word we talked about, perseverance. That's God. That's the grace he has. I love David's prayer. He says, do not let me fall into the hands of men. He says to God, God, you chastise me. You correct me. You do everything that I deserve. But he said, but don't let me fall into the hands of men. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a beautiful prayer because it talks about God's grace. Amen. He's a graceful God. And it is better for him to chastise us than men chastising us. Amen? Yeah. And so that's really important. Long-suffering is one of the attributes of God. That is a fruit of the Spirit. But my friends, the time is running out. The Lord's return is getting closer. And not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. We have a lot of work to do. A lot of work. So what are we to do? Verse 30 says, let both grow together until the harvest. At the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather together the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them. But he said, gather up the wheat in my barn. Oh, hallelujah. My friends, the Bible tells me in Matthew chapter 3, verse 12, There will come a time when Jesus will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. That's, my Bible tells me that. According to the constitution of our kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Jesus later explained in Matthew chapter 13, verse 41 to 43, he says, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out all of his kingdom, all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I've got some good news for you this morning. Leave the future to God. Amen. Amen? Amen? Leave that to God. That's why he says, why do you worry about your tomorrow? I've got your tomorrow. You worry about today. Hallelujah. And he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, he says, what? Seek my kingdom first and my righteousness first. And all that you worry about for tomorrow shall be added unto you. That's a powerful statement. The moment you and I all start to walk in that place, when we start to say, God, the tomorrow is yours, but today we have it right now. Because why? We're breathing. We're living. We're doing things. Do good today. Pray for someone today. Bless someone today. Do it today. Tomorrow doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. Oh, hallelujah. And that's why we live the tomorrow and the future with God and be faithful in the present. Persevere in the present, my friends. God is saying today to expect opposition, to trust the future to the judgment of God while remaining faithful in the present. Amen. We don't judge nobody. That's his job. He's the one that will do all that gathering. But you and I focus on today. Today, we have it today. That's why it is important to give your heart to Christ. When? Today, while you're still breathing. Tomorrow doesn't belong to you. You can walk up that road tomorrow, today, and get hit by a car. Something can happen to you. You can fall ill tomorrow and get sick and die. That's God's tomorrow. But ours is today. When the altar call is made for you to come and give your heart to Christ, do it. Amen. Run. Run. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence what? Take it by force. Amen. Run after the thing and take it by force. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take that kingdom by force. Force yourself into it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What part of your life are you tempted to give up or to give rather than to go on? First thing you must remember is this. You are not going through your challenges alone. Amen? Amen? That's why the church is important for you. We go through the challenges together. In his explanation, Jesus called the good seed the sons of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. And he says, they were sown across the entire field, not just in one place. So no matter how alone you feel, you are never alone. Hallelujah. The Bible says Satan is a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. How should we respond? Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood or your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You are not the only one suffering. There are people suffering more than you and I in this place today. We live in a beautiful country, a blessed country. We don't know about persecution. There are others who are suffering real persecution. So remember that. When you go through your little petty little problems, remember, someone is getting thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. Remember, someone is getting executed for believing in Jesus. Hello, somebody. Amen. Think about those things before we start criticizing and doing things inside the church, being offended by little things. Hallelujah. Someone is receiving a severe punishment more than our little petty parties here. Remember those things when you think about those that are suffering with you as well. The Bible says Satan is a roaring lion. That's true. Every day, ask God for strength to go on one more day, to be courageous in standing for your Lord and his word, to pay a price to follow Jesus. It cost a lot to follow Jesus. It cost everything. You and I know that when you came to Christ, you lost everything. I lost my family. My brother was my greatest friend. He hated me for following Christ. My family, I can't trust. Why? Unless they're in Christ, I can trust them. We have the family right here, right now. I hope I can trust you. And everyone went really quiet. Do this knowing that you are one day closer to eternity than ever before. And one day you will be forever grateful that you did. Oh, hallelujah. My friends, I want to say this. Whatever is born of God will survive. Whatever is born of God will survive. The devil can create anything. He can't. He can counterfeit everything. He can counterfeit signs and wonders and miracles and all these things he can do. But he can never counterfeit righteousness. Amen. That character belongs to you and I. Amen. God gave it to us through the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes. He cannot counterfeit that. And so be careful what you get yourself involved in. Bible says what? Check the fruits. My friends, the battle for this world is for the hearts and the minds of people. Satan continues to use deception and fear to frustrate progress and to cause disunity and division inside the church. So I chose perseverance. If I didn't choose perseverance, I would be surviving 5 years in this church. Hallelujah. I had to choose perseverance to do it. And I know you can too. If I can do this, then you can too. You can stand with me and we can all persevere together. Hallelujah. In Pidgin, mi blasato. Hallelujah. Masila gele gele nambot. Sorry, that. Kaike tit. Tell your mate. Kaike tit. That means grit your teeth. Tighten bun means like. And just go. Hallelujah. That's perseverance. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the weeds will be judged. The wheat will be rewarded. We win. Your story has already been written, my friends. You come from a winning, winning, winning story. Amen. I always say you come from the place of finish. A place of victory. Amen. What we did today, what Pastor Bill brought as a community message, remember where Jesus is. Yes. He's not hanging on the cross. Yes. He's in a place of victory. And yes. You came from that. You came from a place of finish. Hallelujah. Stay on the path of holiness and righteousness. Amen. Walk blameless before God. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, he says, Beloved, do not think it is strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Don't get shocked when persecution comes or when you get tempted by something. It's normal. All of us are going to go through that. Like I said, when you give your heart to Christ Jesus, they took the target sign of Kent Central and put it in your head. You're walking around with a target. The devil sees from far. And if you carry the Holy Ghost, oh, hallelujah. If you're a follower and a believer of Jesus Christ, a person that walks in holiness and righteousness, you're a target for the enemy all the time. He will always target you. Hallelujah. So don't be surprised. He said in Luke chapter 22, verse 32, But I have prayed for you. Oh, somebody say amen to that. That your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, it says, strengthen your brethren. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to this. He says, but I have prayed for you, Jesus says, that your faith should not fail. But when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Notice that Jesus didn't pray for his healing. He didn't pray for the devil to leave him. He didn't pray for the demons not to bother him. He didn't cast the devil out. He said to Peter, Peter, I pray for what you believe, that you will believe through this process. Amen. And through your faith and your belief, Peter, he says, go and strengthen your brethren after you get strength from my prayer. Hallelujah. I love Jesus Bible College. He doesn't mess around. He says, I'm not going to pray for the devil to leave you. I'm going to pray that your faith takes you through that. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, man, I just felt the anointing in that. I just felt the anointing of God in that. We jump up and down every time. Oh, pray for the devil. Pray, 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 pray. Pray for this and pray for that. No, pray that you persevere. Pray that you are strengthened after you come through the process. Because without that process, you cannot be strong. And Jesus, oh, hallelujah. He says, Peter, I pray for what you believe through the process. That is why the most powerful thing you possess is your faith. Somebody say amen to that. Jesus said, if you can keep that, the devil has lost. If you can keep your faith, the devil has lost. If you keep your faith, the devil doesn't have anything over you. So pray for perseverance, that your faith takes you through whatever that's going to come. And this morning I pray the Holy Spirit will challenge you, my friends, motivate you and inspire you to make some changes in your life whenever it needed change. Whatever that needs change in your life today, say, Holy Ghost, I need change in that path. This is the part here, stop here, miracle item, stop here. That's the part I need some change in. We seem to be giving God everything else as changes, but keep this one for later. You know, during the revival in PNG, they were baptizing one guy who was a really violent person before he came to Christ. And as they put him, it's a true story. As they put him down into the water, his hands were sticking out. They were trying to push his hands in. And he keeps pushing his hands out of the water. And so what he was saying is, look, baptize me everything, but leave this hand in case we go into persecution and I need that. I will still need that to punch someone or do something violent or something to protect my family. Whatever it is, baptize everything else, but leave my hands outside. That is true story. This is revival in PNG. And people were trying to push his hands in, and he was just sticking it out again of the water. And he's telling them, just put everything inside, but leave my hands out there. Hallelujah. Well, today God wants that hand in the water. Hallelujah. Whatever that you're hiding from him, put it inside the water. Hallelujah. Let it be baptized and taken care of. Hallelujah. So that you can come out firing for God. I'll tell you a funny story before I finish. This is revival stuff. You know why I'm talking about prayer? There's a group of young men that prayed in the house. And these are guys that I work with in the music business. And I had led them to Christ. And they were praying inside this house in Gardens. And the fire of God came down. That's why prayer meetings are so important, my friends. You don't time it. You know, you just have to have faith to be in a place of prayer. And God himself will visit. And the Lord came down. The fire came down. And these guys, just, it was like they had a Holy Ghost fire night. And they came out of that house, walking down to the bus stop, going to catch the bus to go home. And they were on fire, so on fire that one of them stood up and started preaching in the bus. And I'll bring Pastor Dion to come and preach to you. He's a beautiful man. That's the man I'm talking about. He was still at university, so he was so on fire for God. He stood in the bus and he started to preach to the whole bus. He's standing in the front near the driver, and he's preaching to the bus, the whole passenger, or the people inside the bus. And one guy sitting at the back said, "Oi, stop it, it's not a church." And Pastor Dion Warab, he could hear him, he heard it, and he looked at the guy and says, "Hey," he pointed at him and says, and he said it in a powerful Angan accent. He says, "You think we Christians are weaklings, huh? We Christians are not weaklings. We are meek, but we are not weak." This is Bill now. He's saying to the man, he says, We are meek, we are not meek. We are not weak, we are meek." And then he pointed to his hand and says, "See these hands? I used to lay hands on the people and they should get healed and slain under the power of God." And then he looked at the guy and says, "If I punch you now," he says, he says, "you will turn into powder." And the guy just put his head there and said, "Oh, Pastor, preach, 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 preach." "Everybody shut up, let the pastor preach." And he preached the whole bus to where he's going to get off. And he got off and he waved to everybody and says, "Bye." Oh, my goodness. But that's what happens when revival hits. Things start to happen. There's no fear. There's no consideration of who's watching you. You know, when I came to Christ, I had long dreadlocks right up to here. Yeah, I was sharp. I'm sharp now, but you know, I'm sharper now, but because I got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Two-edged sword right here. But you know, the day before I got saved, a bit before that, I joined the band Yothi Yini in March 94. November 94, I gave my heart to Christ. It was a total transformation. I had a Damascus experience in God that no one can tell me I'd never met God. People say, well, Ben found God. I did find God. Absolutely. Amen. You know, I felt a spirit left me and another spirit came to live inside of me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And it was on the front page of Post Courier. It was all over the country. People read about it. And it was a big story, the biggest story of the month in February. The same year, in November, I got saved. And that story was even bigger than the first story. And people just couldn't believe what had happened. Because the next day, I was standing at the front of the PNGBC Bank up in town, in Port Moresby, preaching the gospel with Bible in one hand, dreadlocks in the other, and preaching. Hallelujah. And it was Digby's fault because he dragged me to go and preach. He came to prayer meeting one time. He says, bro, you need one open hair. I said, what's the open hair? Are we going to go and preach? Let's go. We prayed all night till 6 o'clock in the morning, and then we packed the car up with the instruments. We went up to town, set it up, and preached the gospel. Amen. People came to Christ. Women wept in the marketplace and came to Christ. All the rascals and people that do all the petty criminals all came and gave their hearts to Christ today. Same day, we packed them up inside the van and took them all out to the church. Same day, kept them inside the church, prayed for them, and then released them back. Sunday, they were all dressed up, all coming to church, totally transformed. Hallelujah. And I was standing on the street preaching, and people said, isn't it the guy that just joined Yothi Yini 6 months ago? I said, yep, that's him. It was a promotion of God. People could not believe it. They'll take me into a radio station. I want to talk about my travels with the world and talk about the band and talk about, you know, the experience of rock and roll industry. And it's like God always uses that. And one slip and boom, the gospel comes out. Amen. And before you know it, I'm preaching to the guy in the radio station. And he's sitting there, just couldn't say anything. You know, the Holy Ghost is the one I'm talking about today. Hallelujah. He's the one that transforms. And so this experience of revival coming from that place, I'm excited about it. Amen. Because the word of God that came is to confirm what this church was planted for. We had a battle with the church next door. They didn't want us to be here. It was on front page post, Ken's post, David versus Goliath. This little church in the corner, and the Catholic church didn't even want us anywhere. They tried everything to keep us out. And funny thing was, they came and they said, oh, you know, your car parks are going to be full, and or, you know, you might have a funeral, and, you know, we won't be able to find car parks. And Pastor Bill says, we don't do funerals, we only do weddings here. This is my congregation of very young people. Praise the Lord. We still are. Still sharp, hallelujah. Hey, come on, give God a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Woo. You know why I get excited? Because we've gone through a battle to be a church. And so if we can do that, you know. You can feel it in your bone that there's a purpose for this church to be here. And you, all of you, insignificant-looking people, shady characters in the past, now transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost, sitting here today, you are a weapon in God's hands. And the whole purpose of this message today is to actually tell you that. Hallelujah. That there's a cloud coming. There's a cloud being formed like a man's hand. But listen, let me, and I gave it to the music team, let me just read that. First Kings chapter 18, verse 44. The story of Elijah when he was praying. And he prayed seven times. And he kept sending the seven. He says, go out and see. And the seven would come back and says, there's nothing. He says, okay. And he prays again. Then he says, now go out and see. And on the seventh time, the seven went out and he came back. And in verse 44, it says, then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. And then so he said, now go up say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. God spoke to that, spoke us the word, that there's a cloud for me. But my concern, as I said to the music team and the ministry team today, he says, my concern is not the cloud, because I know the cloud's coming. My concern for this church is that we prepare. Because the next line of the scripture, it says, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. I don't want to be stopped by anything. I want to be in the middle of this flow when it comes. Amen. I want to be part of this revival move of God when it comes. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm not talking about these things just as a good story. This has to be a testimony to you to know that God's power transforms people. And this fire or the flood that's coming, all God requires from us is preparation. Preparation, I always say, is the greatest act of faith. When you prepare for something, you believe that something is coming. Amen. Amen? Amen? And some of the things that have spoken in my life, and you always hear me say, I believe that, God believes it. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. I believe it, and if God believes it, praise God. Amen. And so our obligation, our work now, is to prepare for the cloud that's forming. Amen? See yourself as a significant man and woman in this move of God that's coming. Amen. Don't get caught up with what's happening around the world today. Oh, there's no lockdown now. We can breathe easy and God. And all. You never know what's coming. There's a calm before the storm. But I always say there's a storm before the calm. And so get ready for something. Get yourself in the place where you're significant, relevant for the day, relevant for what is coming. Amen. That's the whole purpose of this message this morning, is to encourage you, to get you to think, to get you to start to be motivated about being part of something big inside this church. We've had some tough times as a church. You know, a lot of people want us to fail. A lot of people want us to fail. But God took us through it. When before even we start, a lot of people wanted Pastor Bill to fail. God took us through it. What does that say to us? It says that we have a significant work to do for God. We're a target. There's a target sign on this church for the enemy. That's why I want you to be here in a time of prayer. Come and pray with us. Come and pray with the leaders. Pastors and leaders, I challenge you. If you don't pray, then the people won't pray. If the leaders and the pastors don't pray, then people won't pray. I stopped announcing prayer a long time ago. I said, Jen, don't announce prayer. I want people to sense it in their spirit. I want them to feel it inside their belly, that there's something important about prayer. They need to capture this thing, this revelation. You see, revelation cannot change you if it's not put into practice. Yes, amen. You can receive revelations after revelations, amen. But that doesn't change you, amen, until you activate it in your life. Amen. When you activate something that comes to you, it becomes something. I want to read you an instruction that was given to me when I took the church. And I printed it out because I feel I need to read this and then we can close. As soon as the moment we went to University of Technology and did a crusade for the students there, something broke in the spirit. And we started to see what we came out of, what I came out of, that revival that was happening in the 90s. That brought Pastor Bill to PNG. Pastor Bill was in that place of revival. That's where the church was birthed, because of that fire that was happening. Most of us, myself and Digby and most of the people that I know came from that. They were the forerunners of the revival, and then I came. Now, it came through that fire, the same fire. But we're starting to see something. There's a picture, like I said, there's a hand size of a man's hand, a cloud size of a man's hand forming. And that's why it's important for me to read this to you. When I joined Yothu Yindi, and I thought, okay, I'm going to join a famous Aboriginal band and become famous and do all that stuff. But I never saw the call of God, why he allowed me to be in that band. Because he allowed me to be in a band in March, and in November he took me out. Out as in got me saved, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I did 28 or 30 years of touring as a born-again Christian in that band. And God said to me, if you do it the way these guys are doing it, you will kill yourself. To drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. You will destroy yourself if you go through. I thank God that I did it his way. And my pastor sent me back in there, Pastor Barry Silverback. He says, son, you are going right back into that place. I sat down and had lunch with him one time. And he asked me a question. He says, what do you want to do? And I said, I'm trying to think of all the nice Christian words that a born-again Christian in 3 weeks can say. And I said, I want to be with the music team and I want to be in church. And he looked at me and says, no, you're not. And I was taken aback. I sat down and said, what? This is the senior pastor of a church telling me that I can be part of the music team. And all the music team says, yes, we want Ben Akelis to play drums with us. He says, no, Ben Akelis is going back to Yalta Yindi. And he says to me, he says, they don't respect pastors out there, but they respect you. He pointed to me and he says, they respect you. You have built a rapport and a relationship with them, and now you have the Holy Ghost. Take him in there. Wow. I returned on tour with Bibles and tracts and everything inside my bag, and I got checked. I was the one that got checked every time because I had dreadlocks for drugs, all that stuff, you know, and they find tracts and Bibles, and they just couldn't work it out. What's wrong with the guy? And I'd be putting tracts since all over London and Europe and Germany, and I'm just giving tracts out. But that's the power that's changed. And so when I saw that, I thought, what is my purpose? Why am I here in this country? We Papua New Guineans talk about fire from the north. What is God having you right here? You're from the north. You don't have to wait for the fire to come. You create the fire here. You started here. I'm not just talking about Papua New Guineans. I'm talking about every one of you that is here. Isaiah 66 talks about that. We can create it here. So I ask God, show me a sign that I belong, that you have something for me in this country. I packed all my bags, and Judith and I packed up to ship back to PNG. And God answered. Then God showed me something. He showed me a fire that started on the island of Elko Island. That island is where all these Yotho Indi guys come from. All these guys came from a family that are custodians of this fire. Wow, you just imagine that. I thought I just joined another band. But these guys came from a fire. Their ancestors, their grandfathers and grandmothers are the custodians of the fire that started in Elko and came through Ramingini, Gapuwiak, Milingimbi, all the way to Yirrkala, all the way into Alice Springs, down to Warburton, all the way down to West Australia. Three states the fire came through in the 70s. God says, follow that path. Go back to that place. There are remnant of these people there. Fire, go back there and bring the fire back there. And that's what we're planning. That's why Pastor Bill is here. That's why God is bringing people into the church. It is not just to build another nice church in the corner. We have a mission to do. All of us were called. Joe's got a vision that is so powerful. When he shared it with me, it connected with the vision that God gave us. Connected with Pastor Bill, connected with each and every one of you today. So we see ourselves significant, amen, in the season and time. Think like that, and you see the changes in yourself. And as soon as I took the church, the word came, the powerful instructions that came. Everybody in PNG got excited. They said, we felt like a baby was, when Mary met Elizabeth, and the baby started to jump up and down. He says, that's what we felt, he said. So we've never felt anything like this. And so if we're feeling that, then something is happening. And the word came and says, a great sense of God has dawned in PNG. And it is breaking at the grassroots level and spending fast. It says, I have witnessed and seen firsthand as how God is using insignificant men and women to create a significant move that will climax into the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the nations of the earth. This move is happening with the heart of men, and the shift is inside, making it difficult for the enemy to predict or comprehend. That makes us take the upper hand against the enemy in this season. There is also a restraining order put out to the enemy according to 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. God is putting a restraining order on the enemy. Why? Because he wants this to start. There will be peace. The enemy will be at peace by his order from heaven. God will also open up the armory of heaven, Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 25, equipping the saints with everything needed for the kingdom advancements, that all is needed to excite and bring about his will available to us. God spoke to Joe, teach my people. Teach my people. That's why Bill is here. Pastor Bill is here. We're going to teach. We're going to teach. We're going to teach. He says, God is going to what? Allow the equipping of the saints with everything needed for the kingdom advancement. God will raise up strategic men who will be able to devise a winning plan to carry out his will. The accuracy and the precision of a prophetic flow will be released to these set men so we can be able to buy back time and fulfill God's purpose on this earth. Amen. This is a prophetic instruction that came to me. It says, man of God, listen to this. The church must take a new role in the Spirit and advance with clarity to be able to become the voice at the gates. The Spirit of truth has to be given full access to the church so she can walk in the light of the truth, exposing and bring light into the dark world. That's why I was preaching on righteousness and holiness and obedience and all that from 17 until 21. It's from these instructions. Darkness is the absence of light, therefore leaving the church vulnerable to deception and inaccurate doctrine that depletes the power and the purity of the church of Christ. He is building his church, meaning it doesn't stay the same. And it is going from glory to glory, strength to strength. His church is an advancing church, the gateway to heaven. His militant church is organized to take on a new role with fresh insights and spearhead leadership as we enter into the season of the battles of the King. Genesis chapter 14. A simple farmer, remember that story? Due to the capture of his son Lot, lost of a generation, he took on a new role and gathered sons and plundered the gates of the enemy and restored all. We are kings unto him. God says, you will raise up sons and daughters inside the house. Prepare them. That's why the word has to come strong. That's why I've been preaching strong words to you. Not because I wanted to cause you to be something. I wanted you to align yourself with what God is speaking to me. This is instructions that we have to take and run with it. We need to raise sons who can carry out the assignment and partner with us to finish strong. We need to bring away from having a congregation mindset into a son's mindset. That way we can be able to win all the battlegrounds. Jesus and the Father relationship is the Father and the Son relationship. That's all we need. Pastor Bill raised up sons. We raise up sons and daughters. And we continue to go. Hallelujah. Sons who are loyal and take heed to instructions. Congregation membership are not loyal. Sons and daughters are loyal. They will fight for the house. They will stand for the house. Hallelujah. Congregation mindset is a group of people who murmur and complain. And after seeing the glory of God, sons are loyal at all costs. What we say is law and not for contemplation or discussion, but execution. Oh, hallelujah. God never used the complicated strategy to win back the earth, but just the Father and the Son relationship. God is not about complicated relationship, just the Father and Son relationship. That's why Bill raised me and raised us. I'm saying me, but us. Now he's back to make sure, stand with us, become the Aaron and the Ur, and lift us up, and move us along. Hallelujah. And we do the same for you. We teach you, train you, stand you up, and move you along. Hallelujah. We have not much time left, my friends. We don't know what is coming. That's why these instructions got me firing. The nature of sonship gives us the right to call him Abba Father. In the Son is the power to overcome death and sin. We must raise many sons to glory. What we hear will determine the outcome of our victory and progress. I spoke about voices. Hearing the right voice. Hearing the right voice. Turning your television off. Hearing God's voice. Coming to prayer. You had me saying, come on, prayer, prayer, prayer. Hallelujah. The Joshua generation is not about the young, but a well-instructed generation who are willing to take on every word of God he speaks and be doers of it. That's the Joshua generation. Not about the young and old. We must be trained to hear and hear till faith is released in our hearts so we can take action. There are many who believe in Israel, yet Jesus said to the Roman centurion, I have not seen faith like this in Israel. In other words, men under authority are trained to hear. And here, his fate was seen by heaven. Men under authority are trained to hear. And my friends, Satan always speaks fear to our faith. So we can lose focus and make wrong interpretations in fear. Can't you see we're about to drown? Jesus then spoke faith into their fears. Where is your faith? We need spirited and gifted men who can release a word that can ignite faith in us so we can be able to take the upper hand in this season. We need to muster momentum to meet results on time. Oh, hallelujah. Men of God, you are strategic God at place in this season. I feel that God's about to shift your house to a new level. I pray you rally everyone into traveling prayer that births moves. That's the instruction that came to me. And I've been rallying you guys since I took this church, rallying you. Come on, come on. Let's pray. Let's come together and pray. Let's stay in unity together. Let's do this together because I can't do it myself. Hallelujah. Amen. All I've been doing is relaying those instructions to you. And when the word of God came on the day of Covenant Day here we had in the church, and the two men of God confirmed and affirmed what this church is all about. This is something we need to take seriously. Because I don't want to be just another church for the next 20 years. I want to see what I saw God did when I came to Christ. I want to see the former glory of God happen inside the church. The only way we can do that is come together in unity. Stand together regardless of what. In the days to come, God will birth inside of you a move that will change the face of ministry. I've been praying for you. And I believe there is a deep connection to you and the ministry down south. God bless you and your family. Pastor Jason Melly. This young man is causing havoc in the spirit right now in PNG. He's going in and lifting up the fathers and standing them up and says, come on, fathers, we are your sons. What happened? You've lost the fire. You've lost the call. You've lost the vision. We can't follow you with while you're doing this. You need to stand. And he's been doing that. And the whole old church and the churches that he's been going to is being transformed right now. And it's happening, my friends. And you and I are part of what's happening. Get excited about those things. Because it's the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I've released to you my heart today. So I thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you that you've received something that is, I've never sent this to anybody. I kept it to myself. I only gave it to a few of my leaders, but I've never, there's two words that came. This is for the church. One was for me. I kept that one to myself. What am I doing? So I only give it to those who ask for it. If you say, Pastor, what did God speak to you about? I'll give it to you. But I want you to be here with me. I want you to know that when I turn around, you're there. When I turn, you're there. When I turn around and I look, you're still standing with me. You know, Pastor Bill said to me, and I said to him, I wish you'd told me that 5 years ago. Pastor, when a new pastor comes in, a new leadership comes in. But he says, watch for those who will stand with you. If they stay for another 3 years, you know you got them. Now, thank you all of you. Those of you who are serving as deacons in the church, those of you who are serving as elders in the church, I thank you. Thank you for believing in me. Thank you for believing that I can do this job. I really, really treasure that. I thank you. Every time when I see you, I get encouraged. When I don't see you, I think something's wrong. But you're still here. Most of you are still here. Just like Jesus asked his disciples, where are you going to go? They said, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. Praise the Lord. You know, people move and go. But I really want you to understand, you're not here to move around. You place yourself in a place where you bear fruit, but you become part of a significant moment that God wants for the church. Amen? That's my heart to you. And I thank God for you, for your family. We continue to pray all the time. Saturdays, we're praying for you. Praying for our children, praying for our congregation, praying for all our families. And I thank God for He's been keeping us together for such a great time and what is about to come. So I thank you all. Father, I thank you. Lord, you know my heart. And Lord, I just release that to the people today. Thank you, God, that you allowed this time to be able to speak, and God, that they be able to also receive. And I know that many of them have received. So Lord, just humbly before you, I pray that whatever that has been released today, Lord, I pray it will sit in their hearts. Lord, not just in the mind, that your will is not in our minds, but your will is in our hearts. Because when it is in our hearts, we will do what you have called us to do. I pray that your will be done in our hearts. That our hearts become passionate and strong, Father God. But Lord, more than that, we become people of perseverance. That we persevere through trials and tribulations, knowing that Jesus is on the right hand side of the Father, praying and interceding for us. He has not stopped praying. Lord, you have not stopped praying for us. And because of your prayer, we are able to achieve everything that you've done as a church. So Lord, I pray and I bring this church before you, each and every person. Today is a significant moment for them to hear this. And so I pray, Lord, that you ignite that inside the spirit. Lord, let that fire start to burn. Let that passion start to take over them, oh God. Let them, Lord, experience that themselves as well. And Lord, we bring that before you. And we pray and ask you for your wonderful blessing upon us today. Lord, dismiss us with your wonderful blessing. Again, pray that you will keep us safe in the palm of your hands, that we are able to accomplish the purpose and the will of the church. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jim.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.